You are listening to the Gerwick Report Podcast.
You know it's the Mac Militant.
Let's get ready to kick it. Holla, holla, holla.
Theodore Teddy Long's love for the sports entertainment industry runs deep. Teddy has done it all, from managing championship-winning tag teams.
There's nobody that's going to step in the ring with the Soul Brothers Doom and take a new NWA World Tag Team Championship.
To being synonymous with the SmackDown brand as the show's longest tenured general manager.
SmackDown, the greatest job that I have ever had in my life.
You could always tell that Teddy was having fun. His infectious personality brought smiles to the faces of the WWE Universe whenever he danced his way onto the screen. No matter what Teddy did, he did it with passion, style, and an unmatched vernacular.
Hey, player, I'll talk to you later.
Teddy is always ready.
I'm gonna make Crystal holla.
Now you keep it pushing.
Feeling that?
Homie, don't play that. Gonna be thugging and bugging.
Dollar bill, dog.
WWE welcomes Theodore Teddy Long into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Holla, holla!
Well, we stepped away for a while, but we are back. The Gerwick Report Podcast. Today is Tuesday, March the 7th, 2017. It is episode 156 of the Gerwick Report Podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. And yes, as we said, we've been away on hiatus, but boy, we are back with a full edition today. Lots of topics to discuss, and of course, we are back with a Hall of Famer. And we'll get to that in just one second. But I want to thank everybody out there that's been sending in tweets and emails and Facebook messages saying, where's the Gerwick Report? When's it coming back? We said we were stepping away for a little while, but we were never going away. And it's great to be back today. And I'm back with my longtime tag team partner, the one, the only, Frank D.
What's going on, Steve? And we never really said that we were stepping away. It's just, you know what? Things happen. And that's why we had to step away for a little while. But we are back, the only podcast that tells it like it is, back to take over, if you will.
Yeah, we've stepped away. Glad to be back. A little hiatus, but as I said, we're never going anywhere. And why would we go anywhere? We've got the man himself with us. I've introduced this man so many times as a Raw general manager, an ECW general manager, the longest reigning SmackDown general manager. He is the manager of Legends, The Undertaker, Doom, The Skyscrapers, etc. But now I can add something I've been meaning to say for a long time because it was going to happen sooner or later, and I'm so glad it did. I got the news a couple weeks back. It really made my day. A friend of ours has been with us now for several months here on the Gerwick Report podcast and made it even better than it already was. And today I introduce him as a WWE Hall of Famer. I give you the one, the only, Theodore R. Long. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing very good, man. thank you very much for that great introduction there. I hope I get an introduction like that at the Hall of Fame. Man, I really appreciate, being back here on the Gerwick Report. And Frank D., God, I really miss you, man, from talking to you. And like I said, a lot of people stop me on a lot of the indie shows. They want to know what happened with the Gerwick Report, and they always talk about, hey, what's Frank D. doing? What's Steve doing? So I always put you guys over, man, and I certainly miss you, and I'm glad to know that we're back on the scene. And, hey, man, let's get it rolling.
Absolutely. And as always, I want to remind everybody to check us out on social media at Gerwick and at Gerwick Report on Twitter. You can, of course, like us on Facebook. And since 1997, we've been bringing you the latest in pro wrestling news and information, news and notes, Raw recaps, SmackDown recaps, pay-per-view coverage as it happens at Gerwick.net, GERWECK.net. And to all, everybody out there that was listening that said, you know, we're a top five podcast and they're subscribing to us on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn, I just want to thank everybody out there. It's been a while and I've definitely missed doing this podcast, and it's great to be back here with the guys. And we do have a full edition. And I was telling Teddy, I couldn't wait to get him on the show and introduce him as the Hall of Famer. And let's just start there, Teddy. How did this happen? Where were you when you got the news? And were you surprised it all happened this year?
Well, let's kind of talk about that for a minute. You know, yeah, I'm certainly surprised that it all happened. This was something that I never did expect, you know, that would really happen. But I want to also say I want to thank you, Steve, and I want to thank Frank because of the fact that you guys were the ones that kind of, you know, pushed for this thing. You got me out there and got me back on social media, because my thing is that when I left WWE, I had decided, you know, hey, I'm done with wrestling. I'm going to come home and relax. You know, I had a great run. I was 15 years there, and then I was totally in the wrestling business over 30 years. So, you know, I'm tired. I've had enough. So I was going to go home and enjoy my grandkids, and, you know, I got no quarrels. And I'm not mad with nobody. Like I said, I had a great run, had a great time. But I started doing the podcast with you guys, and you guys kind of educated me to a little bit about the social media. You know, a lot of people don't know. They think, because I do a lot of talking on TV and stuff, that I'm kind of an outgoing person. Well, really not. I'm kind of a loner. So I really didn't care much about being on social media, Twitter or Facebook or none of that stuff. In fact, I really didn't. I never took the time to investigate it or look into it, so I really didn't know anything about it. But you guys was able to do that for me, to get me back out there and get me, you know, get me on this podcast, get my name back out there. And a lot of the people that are responsible, Jamie Cutter, a guy that helped build my website and stuff. And so once you guys got me back out there, I started back out, you know, going back around. A lot of the indie promotions started calling me, wanting me to come in and be a part of their promotions. And so I, you know, kind of came home, got some rest, and got back out there, and then, so to speak, went back to work. So that's kind of how it's happening, man. And like I said, this Hall of Fame thing is, you know, I'm just honored to be a part of that. And I really want to thank, you know, the WWE, the WWE Universe, and Vince McMahon, Steph, Hunter, all those guys, man, that gave me the opportunity to portray my talents and stuff, and gave me a break. I just want to thank all of them and let them know I certainly appreciate it.
We said it since you've been on the show, and I was really excited when you announced here on the podcast that you'd be with us every week. As long as we were doing the podcast, you'd be with us, and I think we've grown, and it's been a great experience with you. So it's only fitting that you finally got those honors, you finally got that phone call, and I know I was conversing with Frank there. It's exciting that the news finally came down the pike, and I'm just so excited. No, Frank, we said we keep pushing forward. It's going to happen. It had to eventually happen, and we're just it's so honored to have Teddy on the show.
Oh, definitely, man. Teddy Long, you know, just hearing the story of Teddy Long from where he started off, being at the TBS studios in Atlanta, and, you know, putting up the ring and all that stuff, to working his way to being a referee and then being a manager and then going on to be the general manager of SmackDown, that's a hell of an accomplishment. And I'm happy to see that my buddy Teddy Long is finally getting his place in the WWE Hall of Fame, and he's well-deserving.
Well, thank you very much, Frank.
Absolutely. And I just remember, I think I brought this up before with you. I remember, I think it was either the first or second interview we did with you, because I remember when you got released, I remember seeing a list from your agent saying, you know, so-and-so talent is now available for bookings. And I saw, you know, Teddy Long. And so I said to Frank, what'd you think about getting Teddy Long on the show? And he's like, yeah, let's definitely do it. So, you know, we get you on the show. And that was either the first or second interview. I said something about the Hall of Fame, and you're like, you know, right now, I don't know if they call me. I'm not sure I would go. And I just remember the conversation just saying, you know, Teddy, if they call you, you got to do it for the fans, if nothing else. And I know a lot of time has passed since that conversation. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say and just, you know, relive your career and the thoughts that, you know, you've experienced over the years, the great shows you've been a part of, being the SmackDown general manager, all your accomplishments. I can't wait to hear what you have to say on that big stage. And like I said, we're just so honored to be with you, and big-time congratulations, my friend.
All right, man. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you again.
No problem. And since we've, you know, it's been a while since we've talked to you, Teddy. I know there's been a lot of independent shows. What's been going on with you, your travels, and are people recognizing you now as a WWE Hall of Famer?
Well, yeah, they do. I get a lot on my Facebook. You know, people are, you know, FaceTiming me, you know, saying that they congratulate me on this Hall of Fame induction and stuff. So I'm getting a lot of congratulations from a lot of people, especially on my Twitter, Instagram and stuff. So I really appreciate all that too, man. So I tell you, like, you know, this is just great. I'm still kind of still in shock, but this is great, man.
Well, definitely. We're in shock. We're glad it happened. And we're so happy to have you here, part of the GRP, the Girl Report podcast. And, you know, Frank, you've been away as well. What's been going on with Frank D?
Same shit, different day, man. You know, a lot of people asked me, it was like, well, hey, Frank, you know, when are you guys coming back to the GRP? When are you guys going to do the podcast? And I tell them, you know, it's basically whenever, you know, we get out of the funk, because a lot of stuff went on in the last few months with Steve and with myself or whatever that, you know, in our own personal worlds that we had to go and deal with. And I'm happy to be back here on GRP. And I do keep up with people on social media. A lot of people that's part of our GURK Report podcast Facebook group, they keep up with me. I'm very interactive with people on there. And I've just been, you know, just been doing my thing, man. You know, just out there working hard and then thugging and bugging, pretty much. Same shit, different day. You know, just making money, pretty much. You know,
the way to do it. And let me also remind everybody, I mentioned the subscriptions. You can, of course, listen to us, stream us through GURWIC.net. We're also on iTunes, which some people subscribe and download the podcast. And we're on TuneIn and Stitcher Radio, which are just easy apps you can download to your mobile devices. You can stream us wherever you go. So whichever platform you prefer to listen to the GURWIC Report podcast, we definitely do appreciate you listening to the show and supporting us. And, of course, ProWrestlingTees/GURWIC. If you want to buy a GURWIC Report podcast T-shirt or GURWIC.net, they're there, and they're available 24/7. So definitely check that out. And I don't even know where to start because we've been away for so long.
Well, before you do that real quick, let me throw in a couple plugs myself real quick. So sure. Don't forget about the YouTube channel, youtube.com/GURWICnet. We're going to be having some fresh content coming to the YouTube channel. We're going to be putting up some more WWE 2K17 matchups. If you guys have any matchups you want to see me do, always hit me up at GURWICreport@gmail.com. Also, my boy Efren Guzman with the Atomic Podcast, he did an interview the other day with a guy Teddy Long knows as Bones from WWE. He is a former WWE referee, Justin King. You can check that out right now at the Atomic Podcast on SoundCloud.com. And don't forget, you know, our boy Abby Green and Adam Cohn, you remember them, Steve? Well, they're back with a new edition of the, I believe it's called the Wrestling Soapbox. You can also check it out at thegreenscreen.net. So that's what we're doing over here at GURWIC.net. Now back to you.
And, of course, while we're plugging things, Teddy Play Along on Twitter. I believe it's also the same on Instagram. And, of course, TeddyLong.com, right, for your official website.
Exactly, TeddyLong.com, Twitter, at Teddy Play Along, and Instagram is Teddy Long Wrestling.
With Teddy Long Wrestling. So definitely check that out. Subscribe. I see your subscription counts going up every time I look at it on Twitter. So definitely follow Teddy on his road to taking the honors here on, March 31st?
Was that on March 31st, I think. That Friday night, yeah. I believe, is when the Hall of Fame will take place.
Right. So definitely on the road to Teddy going to Orlando and getting his honors, you can follow him on social media. And as I said, a lot has happened, and I guess the best place to start is just what's currently going on. And over the weekend was, of course, the Fastlane pay-per-view on the WWE Network. It was the final road to WrestleMania. Goldberg returned, and he got his title opportunity against Kevin Owens. And a lot of negativity towards this match. Some people didn't really want to see it. Some people questioned why should Goldberg get this title opportunity. Some people thought it was too easy. It was, you know, obviously Goldberg was going to come in. He was going to win. He was going to take on Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. Now, personally, I would have preferred to have seen somehow some kind of screw job and Kevin Owens defending the Universal Championship against Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. But, Frank, they went in this direction. You saw the pay-per-view. I struggled to stay awake through this show. One of those, we were talking about it offline, just another Raw. And overall, kind of a very lackluster show.
I mean, it was glorified Raw on Sunday. And I have to tell you right now, I mean, it's been in the works for months. I mean, Kevin Owens versus Goldberg, I mean, we heard about it a while ago. That was a plan. And they went ahead and went with their plan Sunday night and had Goldberg win the WWE Universal Championship from Kevin Owens. And I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. It's just he just drop a dude, you know what I'm saying? And that was it. Chris Jericho came out for a distraction, and Owens got a spear and a jackhammer. And Goldberg wins the belt. Goldberg goes outside and takes the championship to his son, and his son looks like he can really give a damn. about his father winning the Universal Championship. I don't know. I don't know if anybody else out there listening to the show right now has seen Goldberg's kid, but Goldberg's kid, when he's out there, looks like he really can give a shit about wrestling. He can really give a shit about his father being in the ring. I mean, I don't know if it's just because of the lackluster performances he's seen so far from his dad, but I don't know, man. And correct me if I'm wrong, but when Goldberg took the F5 last night on Raw, I think that's the first big bump he's taken since he's been back since November.
Yeah, what do you think about this booking direction, Teddy? Obviously, we're going to do Lesnar versus Goldberg all over again at WrestleMania. Does this match need the Universal Championship for an added attraction? Or would you have, like I suggested, maybe keep the title on Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens could have went to WrestleMania, defended the title against Chris Jericho? Do you think putting the title on Goldberg really does much for that match?
Well, first of all, let me say this. You know, I didn't really see the pay-per-view because I was on an indie show, so I was working, so I can't call it much compliment or something I didn't see. But to kind of answer your question there, first of all, let me say congratulations to Goldberg. Appreciate him being now the new Universal Champion. I really don't know how to comment on this. You know what I mean? I kind of agree with what you said. I would basically kind of like to see Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, you know, kind of do that thing for a minute and not so much as put Goldberg right in there. But, you know, I don't know what direction they're going to go in. You know, I don't know what the plans are for either one of those guys. So probably to me, whatever they did, I'm sure that they're going to cap the of it. So I just think it's just something brand new. It's something different. Goldberg, you know, I think it will add some attraction to the match for him and Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, it certainly does give Goldberg a little bit of credibility there, a lot more credibility than he already has. So, you know, I don't know. We just have to wait and see. So I just really don't know how to comment on it.
But the story was already there, though. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, adding something to the match is one thing with the Universal Championship. But the story was already there. The story was Goldberg has already beaten this guy two times. Brock Lesnar comes in at WrestleMania and just completely destroys Goldberg, and that's the end of the feud right there. They didn't necessarily need the championship. I would have much rather preferred Kevin Owens going into WrestleMania as a champion, going up against his quote-unquote former best friend, Chris Jericho. And you could add maybe a title versus title match situation right there. I mean, that would have been, you know, big for me. But they want to go in this direction here, and I kind of find it ironic that for the better part of last year, Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, respectively, were both, you know, the WWE and Universal Champion for their respective brands. And then, you know, AJ lost the belt at the Royal Rumble to Cena, and then Cena lost it 2 weeks later to Bray Wyatt, and now all of a sudden now Goldberg gets the Universal Championship. So it's kind of like, okay, AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, you guys were good enough to be a champion before WrestleMania, but you're not good enough to be champions going into WrestleMania. And I think that's really, I think that sucks because you have two of the best performers on the roster. And I guess the question would be here to you guys, when it comes down to the AJ Styles and Kevin Owens championship reigns, would you consider those championship reigns good or were they flops?
You know, personally, Teddy, I think both of them ended too soon. I would have kept them on, I would definitely kept the title on AJ longer, and certainly I would have at least let Kevin Owens have the championship going into WrestleMania, and now he's going to fight for the U.S. Championship. I mean, that seems like a big fall off from, you know, the day before he was a Universal Champion.
Well, it's like I said before, you know, we don't know what their plans are. We don't know what direction they're going in. So I think all of this stuff that we see that doesn't kind of make any sense, or it kind of throws us off to what, you know, what are they going to do here? We just don't know. So I really don't know how to really comment on some of this stuff because, like I said, I didn't get a chance to watch the pay-per-view. Basically, I get a chance to watch a little bit of Raw and SmackDown, but I don't watch all the shows. So, you know, I just can't talk about something that I don't know anything about.
You know, Frank, I thought for the pay-per-view, I enjoyed Samoa Joe, Sami Zayn. I enjoyed the Cruiserweight match. But other than that, it was just another show.
It really was. And the fact that you had the same stage for the pay-per-views every month that you use for Raw and SmackDown, it don't make it any better. I'll tell you what, that show the other night, Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn, that was a really good match. I really enjoyed that match. Other than that, a lot of it was forgetful. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wasn't really too into the Bayley versus Charlotte deal. Sasha Banks didn't need to come out there at all. So I didn't get that. I didn't understand the reason they put Sasha Banks over Nia Jax. I don't get that either, that booking decision. And once again, Goldberg, you know, going out there and defeating Kevin Owens in the style that he did. And once again, people, I mean, I'm so glad, Steve, that I'm in the era here of a WWE network where it's only costing me $9.99. Because if I had spent $60 for that show, I would have been scratching my head and been pissed off. You know, but a lot of people were like, you know, what the hell is going on here? I'm like, well, they're booking Goldberg the way the WCW used to book Goldberg. Because if you watch Goldberg in WCW, his matches were very short. They weren't as short as they have been in WWE, I'll tell you that much. But they were short. Goldberg would go out there and just do a spear, jackhammer, snort, and spit, and that was pretty much Goldberg. So that's the same thing they're doing here in the WWE. But the thing is that you have guys that he's wrestling that have, you know, been there, and especially Kevin Owens, who goes out there and busts his ass every single match. Has been very entertaining with Chris Jericho, and you job him out for Goldberg. You know, a lot of people, that's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. And I think that's what you're saying right now on social media right now, the backlash to Goldberg, especially last night. In Chicago, Goldberg comes out there and tries to play the hero, and you don't do that in the land of the smarts, like Chicago. Or Chirac, if you want to call it that.
Let me get Teddy's perspective, too, because we had the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble always starts the year off. And now this year we had two pay-per-views in between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. What would you think? And I know they have contracts and they have, you know, endorsement deals for some of these shows. So you ended up doing Royal Rumble, a SmackDown pay-per-view, a Raw pay-per-view, and now WrestleMania. What would you think, though, Teddy, moving forward, either eliminating both shows or maybe just having an elimination chamber maybe at the end of February? Because these two shows in between, I don't think really – that road to WrestleMania seems kind of rocky.
Well, I wouldn't eliminate the shows. And then we got to look at it like this. You know what I mean? If they wasn't making money, these shows wouldn't be on there. So there's money to be made somewhere there, and that's why they continue to do them. So that's basically what it's all about. It's all about that dollar. So, you know, I would just, you know, whatever's working for them, I think they should continue to do that. And I don't know what that is, but and none of us really knows what's working for them. Only they know. So whatever's working for them, I suggest that they continue to keep on doing it, whether we like it or not.
I just don't understand how you could be doing the same mistakes that WCW made back in the day. First of all, we have tonight on SmackDown, we have AJ Styles versus Randy Orton, and the person who wins this match takes on Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship. You gave away last night on Raw, free TV, you gave away Chris Jericho versus Samoa Joe, which is a pay-per-view match that you can put some build upon. You gave it away for free. You got Goldberg out there as the Universal Champion. Are we watching WCW, Steve?
It feels like
because
it.
This is a lot of stuff that they would do back in the day. They give away these matches for free. Like you gave away, I mean, we've seen Bayley versus Sasha Banks in NXT a lot, but you gave it away for free last night on Raw, which you could build it up. Why give it away for free? I don't get that. It is what it is. Like Teddy says, only they know what's working. Only they know what they're doing. So, hey, we're just podcasters, and we don't know shit.
Exactly, man.
Well, let me ask Teddy this, because you were obviously working for WWE the last time Bill Goldberg came in, and I think a lot of people were very disappointed by the run that he had there. They didn't really do a lot with him as far as, you know, pushing him to the top. And here he comes in. You know, he's won two matches now, and he wins, you know, puts in a strong performance at the Royal Rumble. He comes in and wins the Universal Championship. The question is, why didn't they give this push to Bill Goldberg the first time he came in?
Well, you know, it might not have just been on them. You know, it might have been on Bill Goldberg, too. You know what I mean? I had a chance to work with him over the years, you know. So, you know, I sometimes, you know, you can want too much out of the company, and the company is not ready to give you all that. You know, you kind of got to earn some of this stuff. And sometimes a lot of guys come in and they haven't earned anything and they want a whole lot. So I think, you know, back then when he first came in, I think he had a lot to do with the company not giving him the push that they may have wanted to give him.
See, I kind of agree with Teddy on that, but then I just think it is, like everybody else, Goldberg was a WCW creation, and I think Vince McMahon and WWE were selling that mindset that we're going to show this WCW creation and all the WCW fans out there that this guy is not nothing to our talent here in WWE. I think that's the mentality they had there, especially at the time when Goldberg came in. I believe that was around the time of Triple H's reign there. So, I mean, look what happened with Scott Steiner and Triple H. before Goldberg came into the company. Look what happened with Booker T and Triple H at WrestleMania 19. So I think that's what it was. I mean, hell, look what happened with Sting versus Triple H at WrestleMania a couple years ago. And a lot of people are talking about the fact that Goldberg comes in and he's, you know, been so successful and, you know, he's winning the Universal Championship, but damn, WWE couldn't put the WWE Championship on Sting that one time. Now, we all know the outcome of that match, you know, Sting got hurt, but still, you know, they could have done more with Sting than they did. So that's a lot of shit that I'm reading on social media when you're comparing Goldberg and Sting their runs in WWE.
Let me ask you guys this, and we'll start with Teddy. And, you know, the obvious question moving forward now is they're going to wrestle at WrestleMania, Goldberg and Lesnar. I mean, what do you expect? Can Goldberg put on? I don't know how long you expect him to wrestle. He's not going to put on a long performance. You definitely would expect Lesnar to go over in this one. So, I mean, this is the Universal Championship match at WrestleMania. What do you expect? What do you expect Goldberg to give you at WrestleMania?
Well, I think, you know, that he'll give us a good match. I mean, because I looked at him last night a little bit, and you can see he certainly lost, you know, a lot of weight. He looks real good, you know, slim and trim, and I think he's in pretty good shape. And like I said, the guy's been out of the ring for 10 years, but he's had a chance to come back. I know that he's been down to NXT. He's been doing some stuff down there, getting in the ring and stuff, you know, getting his timing and everything back down. So I don't know. I think this is going to be a good match, and I really don't expect Brock Lesnar to go over. I mean, that might happen, but I don't think so.
This is a cluster. It's a cluster waiting to happen, honestly, because, you know, it goes back to Goldberg's son and the disappointment when he's out there. I think he's disappointed because he's never seen his dad wrestle a full match in WWE yet. You know what I'm saying? So it goes back to that, man. I mean, I just got bad feelings about this. Because Goldberg is very limited. And it's like the more and more time has gone on, you really see how limited he actually is. I mean, for the most part, Goldberg is an attraction. Goldberg was an attraction in WCW. And when Goldberg would actually go out there and have long matches, it would all go back to the person he's in the ring with. I mean, if he's out there with a Bret Hart, he can do a good match to hurt Bret. But, I mean, if he's out there with Hogan, you listen to Hogan, you take direction from Hogan. But if you're in there with Brock Lesnar and all Brock Lesnar does is suplexes, it's going to be a shitstorm, man. It's a shitstorm waiting to happen. And I hope that that's not the main event. I hope that they do something else. I hope that's not the actual main event of the show. Because if it's the actual main event of the show, put it like this. If Goldberg is out there cutting a promo and Goldberg looks like he just got out of the shower, what the hell do you think is going to happen when Goldberg has to go in that ring at WrestleMania and he's got to go for like 5 or 8 minutes or 10 minutes? You know what I'm saying? He's going to blow up real quick. So it's a cluster waiting to happen. I'm serious.
Yeah, Teddy, you're going to be there. What do you expect the WrestleMania 33 main event to be this year?
Man, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, you know, we saw on Raw, you know, we saw Taker come back and do his thing. So I don't know. I maybe Triple H will, you know, have somebody. Maybe he'll be the WrestleMania main event. I'm not sure. I just don't know.
Rightfully so. It should be Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt for the WWE Championship. Since Randy won the Royal Rumble, he should be main event in WrestleMania with Bray Wyatt. Because, I mean, here, spoiler alert for people. AJ Styles is not going to beat Randy Orton. The plan is always going to be Randy versus Bray. Okay, because we already know, you heard the stories about Shane McMahon taking on AJ Styles. So, you know, it is what it is. But if you want to talk about what match should rightfully go on as a main event, it should be Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, we've been away, Teddy, for a little while. What's your thoughts on Bray Wyatt winning the WWE Championship?
Well, I think that was a good move. I like Bray Wyatt, man. He works real hard. In fact, I've known him ever since he was a little bitty kid. And great attitude, nice guy, great guy. And I think that was a good call, him winning the title. It was certainly was brand new, something fresh, something we never thought would happen. But I like that. I go along with him being the champion.
And, you know, Frank, while we're on the topic of WWE, I know you just went to, a couple of live events, a couple of Raw and SmackDown, and what was the overall experience being there live?
All right, so I went to the Raw show in L.A. a couple weeks ago at the Staples Center, the one where The Rock called CM Punk after Raw went off the air. And I have to say, being there live and experiencing it in person, like the New Day and Enzo and Cass, you can see that people really like these guys. I really don't care for it, but I can see where a lot of people actually do like them. They're very charismatic out there in public. I will say that the shows are night and day, though. Like Raw, if you think it drags when you're at home, it really drags when you're sitting there. And I think, honestly, one of the things I notice about being there live is the amount of time it takes to put the ring together for the cruiserweights. And I think it's just a waste of time, honestly. I mean, they had a segment there, I think it lasted maybe a minute, with Brian Kendrick and Tozawa. And then they had to get the ring back to the Raw shit again. It's just a waste of time. And honestly, from what I experienced, other than Gentleman Jack Gallagher and Neville, no one gives a shit about the cruiserweights. And I saw that in L.A., and then the next day I went to Ontario for SmackDown, and AJ, John Cena, they were probably the two most over guys on the card. And when 205 Live started, everybody got up and left. And I know people will say, well, you know, they're all leaving because they want to beat the traffic out and yada, yada, yada. Well, I asked a couple people when I was there why they're leaving. Well, we don't know any of these guys. That's why we're leaving. It's boring. That's what they said. So that 205 Live show, man, they got to really do something with that, because it came off really bad when I was there. A lot of people stayed, but a lot of people were bored. Nobody got really any reaction whatsoever. And I think if they put that show on before SmackDown starts, eliminate, I think they still do like main event or something, I'm not sure, but if they eliminate that and then start that, start the cruiserweight show first, get the crowd hyped for SmackDown, I think they'll be better off doing it that way. Because if you keep doing a show after SmackDown, it's going to continue to fail, because nobody really gives a damn. And I was there to see it for myself. I even like put on my Facebook, nobody cares about 205. I say, if you're watching this right now live on the network and you see it's dead silence, it's really like that in the building right now. It was crazy.
And the money question is?
The money question is, Steve, is I spent like $500. That's the money question. I spent like $500 to go to both shows, you know, because I took the familiar with me. So it cost me $500 for both shows. And then on top of that, you know, WWE had a buy one shirt, get one free, buy one, get one for $1. So I spent money for that shit, too. So Vince got some money out of me. So that's the money question. Or did you have another money question?
Well, of course, I was going to ask you if you, you know, plunked down the $5 for a Coke.
No, but, I didn't. I plunked down to $7.
$500 for two shows.
I plunked down to $7 for some water. You know what I'm saying? So but that's what I did. But, yeah, man, it's like, you know, because – And unless you go to the building, you know, they're going to charge you all these fees and shit. So, you know, I couldn't go to Staples, you know, so I just bought my ticket online and printed it out. I was actually on the phone with the homeboy Justin when I was doing it. So, you know, it was one of those things. Vince got some money out of me. But you know what? Everybody was happy. My peoples was happy when we went and saw the show. It was all good, man. It was actually, when you go see it in person, it's a lot better than watching it on TV. I'll say that.
Well, you know, Teddy, you know, I paid the $9.99 a month to watch the WWE Network, but here's Frank D. He plunked down $500. I guess if anybody should be able to complain, it would be Frank D.
Well, I'm glad that they got some money out of Frank, because he's real cheap, and I'm just overwhelmed that he spent that kind of money. Yeah, they better check that money, because he might have made it.
Nah, you know what? That ain't how I roll, player. I know
how hard it was for you to get up out that money. You still hurting.
No, you know what? It's like this, man. It's like, you know, when you got to buy all these tickets and you got like five people going with you, that shit adds up. You know.
So, well, yeah.
It is. But it is what it is. You know, it's like, okay, I can sit here and sit here at the house and watch the shit, or I can just go see it for myself. So I went and saw it, and it was cool to see it because I got to see The Rock. You know what I mean? And we got to see, oh man, I forgot the most important part, that we were there when they filmed that movie. The with the fake AJ and the fake Paige.
And okay.
The fake AJ, I think she was Rosita in TNA, I believe. Yeah, she sounds like AJ, but looks nothing like her, of course. And she wasn't dressed like AJ Lee. You know, AJ Lee used to have those jean shorts on with the long ass Chuck Taylor's on, but they didn't even have that. She wasn't wearing any of that. The girl that was playing Paige looked nothing like Paige, unless Paige was chubby. It looked nothing like her. So we were there for that, you know what I'm saying? And they filmed another match the next night in Ontario for the for that movie. They did it again. And this time I was like, I'm getting the hell out of here because I'm not sitting through this shit again. So a lot of people were like, what the hell is it? Because a lot of people, when they saw AJ Lee on the screen, they were like, oh, shit, she's back. No, she's not back, you dumbass. Don't you get it? She's not back. So it's, I don't know, man. I don't know what they're doing with that. But they filmed it in front of us. And, you know, if you watch the movie and they get a lot of cheers in Ontario, California at the second night, that's piped in because we weren't making a sound.
That's some strange casting. Now everybody thinks Rosita looks more like Trish Stratus.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. She looks like Trish Stratus a little bit, but she sounds like AJ. I'll give her
that. Obviously wanted somebody that you know was probably about her size and could bump in the ring, but that seemed like a strange casting because everybody says she looks like Trish. So
yeah, kind of, but she ain't got the boobage.
Yeah,
well,
that's true. Yeah. Well, and what was the you were there when The Rock brought up CM Punk?
Yes. Which was a surprise, and I was like, oh, shit. I was like, The Rock is doing some shit he ain't supposed to be doing. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's The Rock. What are you going to tell The Rock? You know? You ain't tell The Rock nothing. And The Rock was doing that, and I told my family before we got there, I said, I guarantee you, I said, The Rock is here, but I said, he's going to come out there and stall to keep us there for this movie. And that's exactly what he did. And a lot of people stayed. I stayed until the end. And, spent 25 minutes walking around Staples Center trying to find my damn car.
So. Well, maybe you'll be in the movie. You'll be in the crowd scene.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I wouldn't want to be.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Gerwick Report podcast. More to come. We're going to get some questions for Teddy as well. We'll be back right after this.
The Gerwick Report podcast is available via Gerwick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Believe that, player!
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gerwick Report podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gerwick Report podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla!
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gerwick Report podcast, and subscribe.
All right, we're back here on the Gerwick Report podcast, episode 156. A quick reminder, the archives are available at www.gerwick.net, which has been your source for pro wrestling news for 20 years now. 1997 we started, so definitely check it out. And, boy, we have quite a news cycle here this last cycle. Last week, TNA came back. They've changed directions. Jeff Jarrett is back in a creative position along with Dutch Mantel. Bruce Pritchard is back as an on-air talent. They switched the titles. I guess I should probably preference, this is some spoilers here, that they actually switched the titles the first night. El Patron, Alberto Del Rio, did make his debut in TNA. They brought back Magnus. They brought back Chris Masters. A lot of familiar faces did return here. I guess, really, Teddy, the question is, you know, they've gone in a different direction. They've rebranded. They're now Impact Wrestling. They're not TNA. They actually signed a deal with Spike TV over in the UK. Are they moving in the right direction? Is this the way to go with Jeff Jarrett and some of the other guys, or are they kind of spinning in circles right now?
Well, all I can say is this. I hope that they're moving in the right direction. You know, my thing is this. I don't want to see anybody fail. You know, I hope they'd be successful. You know, if they are successful, then that means that there's a place for some guys to go to work and make a living. But, you know, Jarrett has been in TNA before. I think he did real good there when the company first opened. You know, they were doing okay. You know, I don't know what happened. You know, down the line, people, their rumors saying that Dixie spent all the money or whatever, but like I said, we'll just have to wait and see. what really happens here. You know, we just have to wait and see how Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel plan on using the guy. So, you know, that's something right there that I can't comment on. We just going to have to wait and see because this is all brand new now.
Yeah, Frank, you saw the taping results. Does it feel like a new start to TNA, or does it feel like kind of the same, we've been there before kind of thing?
Well, I mean, it's a reboot. I mean, they said officially Bruce Pritchard came out there and said that TNA is dead. You know, and I'm like, okay, fine, TNA is dead, but Impact Wrestling is what they're going to be calling themselves. And when I think of Impact Wrestling, I just think about TNA. That's still synonymous to that whole thing. Is just it don't matter what you do. When you think of Impact, it goes back to TNA because that's been TNA's thing for years. But I'm just going to sit back here and wait to see what happens with it. I mean, they got some people down there. Obviously, they're going to be rebuilding the company at this point because this time around, you do not have AJ Styles. You don't have Bobby Roode. You don't have Eric Young. You don't have Austin Aries. You don't have Samoa Joe. A lot of the key components of what made TNA work originally, they're now working for Vince and doing very well. So I'm just going to say it like this. So I think we all can come to an agreement here that Jeff Jarrett being back in the fold with Impact Wrestling with Anthem, I think we can say that, you know, whatever he had on the table as far as Global Force Wrestling, trying to get a television deal or whatever, I think we can say that he failed. But that's not to say that we won't see Global Force on TNA's, Impact Wrestling's TV very shortly, because if you notice, the new Impact Wrestling logo has a little bit hint of green on it. And I believe that we're going to see Global Force added to it. I believe that they're cutting a lot of the big-time contracts that Impact Wrestling has right now, so Global Force can bring in their talent at a cheaper price.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I guess, some snickering from the established talent there in Impact Wrestling. Say, hey, you know, Jeff Jarrett comes in, didn't really do much of Global Force Wrestling. Now he's bringing in the Global Force Wrestling guys, kind of taking our spots, as we saw. A lot of backlash from the company that let the Hardy Boys go. We heard about, you know, their contracts were expiring. They put deals on the table. Reportedly, Matt was wanting to hear back from them. They took a long time to get back with them. And then the one deal was, you know, TNA wanted a big percentage of their independent bookings. We know Drew Galloway is now gone. Mike Bennett left. Maria Canales went. As you see, you can kind of see the progression here is we're letting the talent go that we don't really want, and now we're going to bring in some of the Global Force Wrestling guys. You've been in locker rooms before, Teddy. You know, when a new booker comes in a new direction, it's usually whoever's booking is going to be partial to the talent that they like. And so this may be the new thing now is, you know, Jeff really didn't get Global Force Wrestling off the table. And, you know, we had him on the show, and we still couldn't really figure out exactly what the direction was going to be for Global Force Wrestling. So that didn't work out. So now Jeff Jarrett is back in TNA. It looks like he's going to be partial to, you know, the Global Force guys, and that's pretty predictable in professional wrestling, isn't it?
Well, yeah. We see it all the time, you know, and, you know, I kind of agree with what Frank said, you know what I mean? A lot of the Global Force wrestlers that are going to come in and work, they're going to come in and work for less money. And when you got the guys like the Hardys and Drew Galloway and people like that that are established, you know, these guys want to be paid, and I don't blame them. You know, they're going to draw you money. They're going to make money for the company, so why not pay them? So why take a chance on some guys that you're going to bring in probably that nobody's probably never heard of, they've never had a major push, you know, never been really, you know, in the limelight. You know, what makes you think that these guys are going to do good for you? You got to make money if you're going to be on that TV. You got bills you're going to have to pay. So I just don't agree with the way that it's being done. I would have certainly kept some of the guys that were there that were established talent instead of bringing in all these new people just because you can get them for cheap.
Yeah, the question might be, Frank, is how are they going to make money? I mean, they're going to stay at Impact. The Impact Studios in Orlando, they're not going to go on tour. We know the situation with merchandise. They have no pay-per-views. Obviously, they're cutting costs here to bring in some of the cheaper talent. I know you have to stay the course here, and maybe we, you know, come back in a year and see what's going on, but I really don't see much change. That TNA stigma is going to be there for a long time. You can call it whatever you want, but people are still going to refer to it as TNA, and I think they've got their work cut out for them. In Impact Wrestling.
Well, it's a lot of bad blood there. between, you know, Impact, TNA, and the wrestling fans in general in the industry, because look at all the stuff that happened with Billy Corgan when he was trying to buy the company, and the crap that he went through, and the fact that he got screwed over in retrospect with that situation. And, you know, all of a sudden that Dixie Carter did, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and defend Dixie Carter one bit about anything, but I will say that if it wasn't for her and the Carter family, TNA would have folded a long time ago. So that's one good thing that she did do, was be the quote unquote money mark and keep the company in business. But a lot of crap, as far as, like I said before, when it comes to that name Impact, it just goes right back to TNA. And like you just said there, you can call whatever you want to. You can't polish a turd. And I'm not up here, and I'm going to say it right now. I don't wish any ill upon them, but they don't have my support right now because of just simply the way they did Billy Corgan, and the fact that he put up this money, and the fact that, you know, he was doing things with the company, just like right now with what's going on with the Hardys. I mean, if it wasn't for the Hardys, where would TNA have been? I mean, they literally carried that company on their backs. You know, EC3, Bobby Lashley, all these different guys. And all of a sudden now, you know, the contract negotiations broke down with the Hardys, and now they're trying to go after Matt Hardy's name. They say, we own the intellectual property, broken Matt Hardy. I'm like, come on, man, really? That's the way that they do business, huh? So it is
what it sounds- is.
Yeah, that's how they do business.
Right. But Matt Hardy, but Matt Hardy's smart, because Matt Hardy recently trademarked the name Broken Matt. So, I mean, I believe he did that, though, because just in case they actually do go back to WWE, the WWE doesn't have any hold over the intellectual property right there. So that's smart. But what's the contract here? What's going to be interesting about this situation in the weeks and months to come is, what does Anthem have on paper? What do they have on file as far as the intellectual property of the broken Matt Hardy character? Do they own it? Does Matt Hardy own it? What's the deal here? Could they stop him from using it in Ring of Honor since the Hardys just signed with Ring of Honor? That's going to be the interesting thing coming up.
And it's real interesting, too, because we heard during the week that they were very close to bringing back Bubba Ray Dudley, Bully Ray, and then he shows up at the Ring of Honor show along with the Hardy Boys. And I don't know what your reaction was, but, you know, we saw all the taping results for the week with Del Rio coming in and some of the names returning. LAX is now back in Impact Wrestling. Boy, it's so hard, easy to say TNA Wrestling. But we see some familiar faces returning there, obviously. And then, you know, Ring of Honor runs a show over the weekend, and they have the Hardys show up. They win the tag team titles. Bully Ray is there. And to me, I thought the weekend, the Ring of Honor won the weekend because, yeah, we saw all these results, and they taped, I don't know how many shows they taped, 6-8 shows, it seemed like, you know, a couple of tapings a night. And then, boom, here's Ring of Honor running a show over the weekend, and they got the two biggest free agents.
Yeah.
Well, good move on Ring of Honor's part.
I mean, we've seen the blueprint Matt Morgan already, right? The one that shocked me, though, honestly, was to see Conan back in Impact Wrestling, TNA. To see him back with Homicide, LAX. That's the one that shocked me. Just as much shit as I've heard Conan say over the years about TNA and Impact Wrestling, just seeing him back in the fold there, that right there proves to me that money talks and bullshit walks.
And what do we make? Because obviously we heard, you know, with the Hardy Boys leaving Impact Wrestling, their contract expired, and boy, did Rebe Sky, Matt's wife, go nuts, you know, with the situation and divulging a lot of details. But what do we make of everybody expected the Hardy Boys are just going to jump to WWE, and we don't know exactly all the terms of Ring of Honor, if it's a long-term deal, short-term deal, whatever. But I don't know, Teddy, you know, certainly the big stage is certainly WWE. Everybody expects they'll eventually go back to WWE. Was this a good move? Was it to maybe say, hey, you know, we could go WWE, but now we also have Ring of Honor in our back pocket as well? What was your reaction kind of when the Hardy Boys went to Ring of Honor?
Well, I think the Hardy Boys, you know, I get a chance to talk to Matt a lot. I see him on a lot of the indie shows. And I think the Hardy Boys just don't want all that stress anymore, you know, all that traveling. I mean, when you go to work for the WWE, there's a lot of traveling, brother, and it's a lot of work to be done, and it's a lot of stress. And I talked to Matt, and Matt, you know, I think he's really enjoying his time at home, you know, much as he can with his baby and stuff. So I think that they just made the right decision for his for what they want to do for themselves. They want to be happy. When you're doing this job, you want to be happy, man, okay? And in order for you to be happy, then you got to be in a good working environment. And so I think that they just want to be able to kind of control themselves and to do their own thing. And I think that's why they made that decision.
So do you envision them going back eventually, or do you think this is, you know, they're done with WWE?
Well, I don't know. You never say never, because you always got to remember this, Steve. Everybody's got a price. So, I mean, I think if WWE offers them the right amount of money, then I think that they'll make that move.
Of course, the Hardys were announced, I think, for the pay-per-view on Friday night. They're going to take on the Young Bucks, the title rematch for the ROH Tag Team Champions. I think somebody that kind of got lost in the fold here, Frank, was Mike Bennett Maria. Their contract expired. They was only there for 1 year. And I know I saw a lot on the message boards from people saying, you know, the TNA fans, well, you know, Mike Bennett, Maria, they don't mean nothing. Who cares? It's no big loss. But it seems like, you know, at one time Mike Bennett was, you know, when he came from Ring of Honor, he was something special. And I'm not sure TNA really got the most out of Mike Bennett as they should. And I kind of think that is a loss for TNA.
Well, I mean, who do they really get the most out of when they sign people?
That's true.
So I'll agree with you on that one. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, he can go to New Japan. He can go back to Ring of Honor. Or he could, you know, if something opens up for him, he can go to WWE. You know, end up on the main roster or NXT. You know, it really depends on what they want to do. As far as the Hardy Boys ever going back to WWE, I just think it's only a matter of time of when they'll be back in WWE, because I think they're eventually going to go. I just think that right now, due to the contractual situation right now with Matt Hardy and the broken Matt character, I think he wants to get that out of the way first before he signs with WWE. And if I was Jeff Hardy, I would trade my brother Nero as well.
What do you think now for the Hardy short term? New Japan as well? Maybe get some bookings there as well?
I mean, I think they could. But, you know, right now, you know, New Japan's on fire. What a lot of different things they're doing over there right now. So, I mean, they could get some. They could take what they're doing with the Young Bucks, take it over to New Japan. I mean, you know, they could have that Ring of Honor Bullet Club deal going on over there too. So, I mean, the sky's the limit of what the Hardys want to do. It's pretty much like you just like Teddy said there. I think it goes back to the highest bidder. You want, you know, they'll get the Hardys, but ultimately the road goes back to WWE. I really believe that.
Well, let me ask you this, Teddy. You know, Bully Ray, Bubba Ray, he goes back to, well, actually he made his Ring of Honor debut to a larger degree. He was in the fold for TNA. They were trying to work out a deal with him. From what I understand, he was supposed to have the role of Drew McIntyre or Drew Galloway. He decides not to go there. He goes to Ring of Honor. We know he's kind of at the end of his run. He runs a wrestling school in Florida as well, so... What does Bully Ray really add to the mix for Ring of Honor? Do you see him maybe feuding for the ROH Championship, or what would you do with Bully Ray in Ring of Honor?
Well, I really can't answer that either, because I don't watch Ring of Honor. I could count the shows that I've seen, so I really don't know anything about Ring of Honor. I can say this, you know, Bubba Ray is a great guy, great talent, you know, great wrestler. And I think wherever he goes, he'll fit in and he'll be some help to anybody. I mean, any company that he goes to work for, I'm sure that he'll, you know, help them in some kind of way. But right now, to say what he can do for Ring of Honor, I don't know, because I don't really know what Ring of Honor is doing.
Now, were you surprised by that one, Frank, that Bully Ray would show up in Ring of Honor right now?
No, I'm not. Because here's the deal. They're having some issues down there at Impact Wrestling right now with people's contracts, big money contracts. I think that, you know, Bully Ray considers himself to be a big money player. So he's going to go where the most money is at. And that's where he went with Ring of Honor. And, I mean, let's just see what they do with the guy at this point. I'm really surprised, though, that a guy that, you know, and I've read, you know, recently that he was never contacted by them and whatever, and he signed a new 2-year deal or something like that. But I'm really surprised at this point in his career we're not seeing Jay Lethal in WWE.
He must be under contract to Ring of Honor.
He resigned.
Yeah.
But he said that Jay Lethal said that he never heard anything from them as far as any type of they never called him or anything. So that's what kind of got him to re-sign with Ring of Honor, because WWE just didn't show any interest. And I'm like, They show no interest at all in Jay Lethal. That's crazy.
Wow.
Right.
Well, what do you guys what do you guys think of Drew Galloway at this point? Does he go back to WWE?
To get lost in the shuffle.
I'm sure he would go back. I mean, if they offered him, you know, the right money, I'm sure, you know, everybody needs a job. He's got bills to pay. I'm sure he would go back. But if the point is, if WWE wants him back, so that I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, I think, to get lost, I mean, that's kind of the same thing I think with the Hardys. If the Hardy Boys were to go back to WWE, would they be in the role of the Dudleys? Because everywhere the Hardys have been the last, you know, year or whatever, they've been going out there and they've been putting on matches and they've been winning championships. And I just think if they went back to WWE at this point, they would probably be in the role of the W boys and they're going to be putting everybody over. And that's kind of like undoing everything they've done on the Indies and everything they've done in TNA and so on. It's kind of like how WWE had, you know, all these different talents the other night. They had Braun Strowman. This guy was a monster, and you were building him up, and then you sacrificed him for Roman Reigns. Same thing. You'd be undoing all of that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that WWE has done all that well with the club. I know they're the tag team champions, but...
Is the club even a thing anymore?
It's nothing. I mean, they don't mean nothing. No. They're just there.
No, these dudes, I'm going to tell you right now, when they came out there in L.A., they didn't really get a reaction from the crowd at all. No one cares about the club. WWE had something special there with the club, AJ and Anderson and Gallows, and when Seth Rollins you had the deal with Finn Balor at SummerSlam. Whatever the plan was for the club, it got put on the back burner, and these guys were jobbed out. And all of a sudden, now you put the tag belts on them, and we're supposed to care now. Hey, I'm happy to see Anderson and Gallows with the belts, but it doesn't really mean a damn thing at this point. I mean, they never should have split these guys from AJ Styles, period.
Yeah, I think that might be the question, Teddy, is if the Hardys go back to WWE, what would they do with them? Would they be on one show or the other? Do you make them the tag team champions right away? Certainly, they don't put tag teams really in high-profile matches very often, so... You know, do they kind of get into the mid-card shuffle?
Well, yeah, the point is this. If they take them back, they got a job. That's number one. They're going to start getting a paycheck. That's basically what the boys are interested in anyway. You know, what's my paycheck going to be? It ain't so much as what position or what role that they're going to put them in. I mean, you can always do something with the Hardys. These guys are great, okay? People like them, okay? And these guys know the wrestling business. So you can always put them in whatever role I think you put them in, they can make it work. But the whole thing boils down to the check.
Well, I mean, I agree with that to a certain extent because I've always believed that out of the Hardys, Jeff was always the more popular one, you know. But then Matt Hardy went and basically reinvented himself, and he kind of took that over as far as the popularity goes.
Right, but and he did a great job of that, too, absolutely. And he came up with that on his own.
Right, but here's the real question. Has the broken Hardys run its course? If they go back to WWE... Is it time to reunite them as Team Extreme?
Well, I think, if they went back there, I think they would find a way to use them. I really do, because, you know, you got two phenomenal guys, you know, two guys with a lot of talent. So I think that if they did go back, I don't believe that the WWE would waste them. I really believe they'd find something to do with them.
Well, sticking with the WWE real quick, and obviously we have, Teddy Long here, who is now are going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Let's real quickly talk about this class. Last night, we were talking with Frank T here and didn't exactly get the reaction you would have hoped for with Rick Rude being announced. And I don't know, it seems like this is like long overdue. They finally get Rick Rude in. And is it too late? We saw the reaction last night. Is it just the crowd last night? I think they could have really done a better job. And we were talking to Teddy as well as, come out and talk a little bit about the career of Rick Rude and what he meant and one of the top heels in the business. And they just kind of throw the video package out there and Rick Rude is now part of the Hall of Fame. You know, last night, Frank, the reaction was kind of, so-so. I mean, certainly wrestling fans like us know him, but a lot of the newer wrestling fans didn't. Was that the right presentation? Was it just take too long? Or what was your overall thought last night with Rick Rude?
My overall thought was, damn, Chicago, can we get a pop here or something? And it just didn't happen. I mean, they were too busy chanting for CM Punk for that to happen. So I just thought it was really anticlimactic, really. I mean, normally the video package has the guy doing a voiceover and talking about the man's career, but they used some footage they had of Booker T and John Cena and a couple other guys, and that was it. You know, it just didn't get the treatment of all the other video packages. So it was really a letdown, to be honest with you. I'm glad that Rick Rude is finally being acknowledged for his career in the world of sports entertainment. But at the same time, I just wish that he would have gotten a little bit more of a reaction from the crowd.
And real quick, look at this class here. We got Rick Rude, we got Beth Phoenix, the Rock and Roll Express, obviously our man Teddy Long, Diamond Dallas Page, and of course Kurt Angle. I mean, overall, Frank, this is a pretty strong class.
It's a pretty strong class, but you know, one of the issues I have with this class is Beth Phoenix, and it's nothing against her or whatever, but I think it's too soon for her to be in the Hall of Fame. I think when I think of women's wrestlers who are out there doing the damn thing, who's put some time in there. I mean, there's a lot of people that could have went in before her. You could have put in Molly Holly, Nora Greenwald. She could have went in there. You could have put in Victoria. You could have put in Ivory. Yeah, she's another one that could have went in there. So many other different people that could have went in, you know, and I just think that it's too soon for Beth Phoenix, but nonetheless, that's the one they chose, so congratulations.
Yeah, well, you know, we actually ran the poll at girlwick.net. Should Beth Phoenix be inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame? Was 50-50, and I don't have anything against her. It just seems like it's too soon, and you just wonder if it's, you know, more political because, you know, she's with Edge, and Edge is in now, but eventually I think she probably would have gotten it. It just seems like it's too soon, and anybody out there that says, you know, well, Beth, she deserves it. I mean, I just think it's too soon. I don't know, Teddy, I don't want to put you in a hot spot here, but I mean, she had a good career, but it just seems like, you know, a lot of people, as Frank, you just pointed out, there's a lot of other women that maybe could have got that accolades a little quicker in this case.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm sure they could have, but, you know, I have to, you know, kind of disagree with both of you with Beth Phoenix because I kind of know her from a real personal side. I got a chance to really meet her and had a chance to work with her for a while, you know, when she first came up from Ohio Valley. And I'm telling you, man, she what a nice girl. And she really busted her butt to do everything that those people asked her to do. I mean, she went out of her way above and beyond, you know, for her job. So she really busted her ass. I'm telling you, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. So, is it, you know, I don't know whether you want to call it too soon or something. Maybe you may feel that way because, you know, by these other women were around much longer than she was. But they don't base it on that now. You know, that's kind of like the old school thing saying, well, we can't do anything with you because you ain't paid no dues. So that's kind of what, you know, what people kind of looking at it like. It ain't like that no more. You don't have to pay no more dues no more, brother. You can walk in the door now and the next day you'd be the world champion. So, you know, that's my opinion on it.
And I want to get your opinion too, since, you know, since we've not done a show in a while, Kurt Angle, Diamond Dallas Page, Rock and Roll Express. This is a really strong class that you're going to be a part of. And I know you, I remember the story you told about Robert Gibson back in the day with the airplane and, you know, maybe just reflecting, obviously you worked with the Rock and Roll Express. You know, Diamond Dallas Page, Kurt Angle, just maybe your overall reflection on being a part of, I think, a really good Hall of Fame class.
Well, the Rock and Roll Express certainly deserve it. I mean, I worked with those guys for many, many years back in the Jim Crockett days, NWA days, and WCW days. So these guys are phenomenal. And there are a lot of people, you know, that certainly remember the Rock and Roll Express. So I certainly, I'm really happy for them, and they certainly deserve it. Diamond Dallas Page, I worked with him along with Eric Bischoff in WCW. You know, Diamond certainly, you know, in my opinion, he deserves it. And, you know, I'm just happy for all of them. Kurt Angle, me and him had a chance to work. I love Kurt, you know, because me and him, we had got kind of close at one time. And remember, I came in and Kurt Angle was the general manager of SmackDown, and I took the job from Kurt Angle. So me and Kurt have a lot of history, and I love him to death, man. And, you know, I'm just happy for, you know, all those people that are being inducted, man. I'm really happy for everybody.
Now, is this the complete class, or is there one more name that may be added yet?
Well, they got to add one more name. I think that would be for the the Warrior Award. So that's okay. My name for that. But I wanted to point out something right here, too. Triple H had tweeted about Beth Phoenix, who says, before queens, bosses, huggers, and last kickers, there was the Glamazon. Well, hey, Triple H, before the Glamazon, there was the ninth wonder of the world. So let's not forget about that, right?
Right. That's the one I think a lot of people say, before you put Beth Phoenix, put China in the hall.
And before that, there was Miss Elizabeth, you know? So.
Yep.
I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, everybody knows the WWE Hall of Fame is it's all political. Like you said, at the end of the day, it is what it is. But it's a very strong class this year. Definitely a very strong class.
Yes.
I mean, you got Kurt Angle going there. Kurt Angle, this dude should have been there a long time ago. He's finally going in there, getting his just due. Diamond Dallas Page was another one. People were like, "Oh, DDP's not a Hall of Famer." Hell, he ain't. yeah, he is. I mean, here's a guy who went from you know, manager to color commentator to a wrestler. I mean, this guy had phenomenal kick-ass matches with Randy Savage back in the day in WCW. You cannot deny Diamond Dallas Page. Just the good stuff that DDP has done on the outside with Jake Roberts and Scott Hall and DDP Yoga. I mean, the guy gets his just due. Teddy Long, hey, man. The guy cleaning the TBS studios, becoming a referee, becoming a manager, becoming a general manager of SmackDown, having a run in the WWE. I mean, come on now. Very, very deserving. Rock and Roll Express. Who cannot forget the Rock and Roll Express against the Midnight Express in the NWA days? These are very deserving guys.
And talking about that, who can forget the Rock and Roll Express against Butch Reed and Ron Simmons against Doom? We had some great matches with them, man.
Absolutely.
Great matches.
Rick Ravishing Rick Rude. I mean, another one. Rick Rude here. Guy. I mean, this dude here should have been the WWF champion back in the day.
Hey, he was another guy that I had the opportunity to become close with. I knew his son and everything. You know, his son, God rest his soul, he passed away. He was killed here maybe a couple of months ago in a motorcycle accident.
Right.
So I knew Rude real well. My wife and, you know, loved him to death, man, because he'd always come by and he'd always talk to her and stuff. So Rude was a great, nice guy, great worker. I mean, great performer. He certainly deserves it.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just thinking right now, like I said, this guy should have been the WWF champion. Why Vince never put the belt on him, I will never know. I mean, he had it. I mean, this guy took a guy like the Ultimate Warrior who was limited and had some really good matches with Warrior. And remember the feud he had with Jake the Snake Roberts? And then you go on down there to WCW and the feud he had with Sting and Rick Rude and Rick and Dragon Steamboat. You know, and I think Steamboat's going to induct Rick Rude into the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Yep. That's what I heard.
Pretty good stuff.
The only man in history to be on Raw and Raw and Nitro on the same night.
Right. Right. And I'll tell you right now, if they're still pissed about that, get a life.
The guy's been dead for so long. I mean, my gosh. I mean, another guy that was, you know, gone way too soon. One of the all-time great talkers, great heels. Boy, he could get really under your skin. The stuff with Bobby Heenan and being overweight, what great stuff back in the day. Right. So good to see him finally get his accolades. And I posed a question here, Teddy, you're going to be on the podcast. Everybody's asking me, you know, do you know who's going to be inducting you in the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't know. They haven't told me anything about who's going to be inducting me. So I don't know.
Well, I'll put you on the spot and you can answer the way you want it. Do you have a preference on who you would prefer?
Oh, I prefer Vince McMahon to induct me.
There you go. Hey, definitely. Why not? The big fish himself.
Exactly.
who would you like to see, Frank? Who would be your top choice for Teddy Long?
Well, I would say probably Butch Reed and Ron Simmons. Doom. Yeah. I would say them. I would also say I know this will be going out on the land here, but yeah, it'd be kind of funny to see Sid Vicious and Doug Teddy.
Oh my gosh, we'd be there forever.
Hey, don't make me. There's a word I put in front of this, so I'm gonna just say blank, please.
Unless he's going to read cue cards, we don't want Sid Vicious.
Hey, but you know what? That's another guy right there. That's another dude right there, Sid Vicious, who is another one who's deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. So
yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? People can say whatever the hell they want to about Sid. I was always entertained with Sid, especially when he was screw up.
Oh, I had a
Which was often when
I managed him and Danny Spivey. Yeah, I had a great time with them. That Sid was a card, man. He was too much.
Yeah.
That guy, I think I've told the story before, but when he did that teleconference years ago, he's going to get back into wrestling. And he's like, what about TNA? And he's like, I don't want to work for TNA. They only draw like a small house. And he's like, I'm going to go back to WWE. And he's like, I'm going to go back and headline WrestleMania. And I said, and he's like, you don't think I can? I'm like, not really.
Wow.
But I mean, the guy, you know, hey, I guess if you're going to dream big, but it didn't happen. But no. I don't begrudge the guy. I agree with Frank. I think he had a Hall of Fame career as well.
Well, hell yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that deserve to go into the Hall of Fame. We could talk about the Hall of Fame all damn day. There's a lot of guys that deserve to be in there. You know, another one on the list is Lex Luger. I mean, when is Lex Luger going to get his spot in there? He's another one that should be in there. What about the Steiner brothers? They eventually got to go in there too. You know, if Scott, you know, could stop, you know, talking so much shit, you know. But
well, let's get to the questions, Frank. Yeah. I think wasn't that one of the questions posed about tag teams?
Yeah, we'll get to that right now. Let's just start the questions here in order as they came.
Okay.
So Josh Dionio, who's a homeboy of mine, he wants to know, outside of wrestling, what do you all like to do for fun?
Well, what I do for fun is outside of wrestling is I stay in the gym mostly 6 days out of the week, and that's kind of what my fun day is.
Yeah, I exercise, do some reading. Not the most exciting guy, but that's about it.
Yeah, same thing with me. When I'm not working or whatever, I'm just at the house, you know, working out or whatever. And I like to go shooting. You know, I live in the desert, so I like to go out in the desert and shoot. That's what I do. And let's see here. We got a question here from Michael Wayne Reba, and he says, and we already kind of addressed this, but we'll ask Teddy again. He says, if Teddy got to pick his Hall of Fame inductor, who would he pick and why?
I'd pick Vince McMahon, and the reason why, because he's the man that made it all happen. He made this all possible, and so I'd like to have the man that made it possible to make that induction.
We also got a question from my boy Efren Guzman on the Atomic Podcast. Once again, he interviewed former WWE referee Justin Keane. You can check that out right now at the Atomic Podcast on SoundCloud. He says, hey, triple threat. How do you guys feel about more tag teams in the Hall of Fame? I mean, there's rules. Why does it have to be a limited amount of entries in the Hall of Fame each year?
Well, my answer to that is I think that they should have more tag teams in the Hall of Fame because there were a lot of great tag teams in you know, in our business, you know, a lot of great tag teams that were out there. And I think they should do it for the benefit of a lot of the wrestling fans now that are coming up and, you know, not knowing who some of these great tag teams were. You know, it's kind of like history. So I think they should have more tag teams in wrestling. In the Hall of Fame, I'm sorry.
Right. A lot of great tag teams that deserve the honors. You know, we were talking about Rock and Roll Express. You got Midnight Express. You got Harlem Heat. British Bulldogs, which we always wonder, you know, where is Davey Boy Smith? Every year there's always a campaign to get Davey Boy Smith in the Hall of Fame. It never happens. And Hart Foundation and the Rougeaux and some of those tag teams, the Killer Bees from back in the day. So, yeah, I agree. I'd have no problem having two tag teams every year because at some point you're just going to run out of headline acts and you're putting more, you know, guys that weren't exactly world heavyweight champions. And I definitely think overall, and that's something I always try to emphasize a little bit with my Hall of Fame, is recognizing the tag teams as well as the women. They deserve their accolades too. So, yeah, I think they have a lot of tag teams they can put in the Hall of Fame. I hope maybe next year. You know, Midnight Express.
I mean, yeah, you got to have the Midnight in there. You know, we all know the situation right now with Demolition and why Demolition's not in. It's due to the lawsuit they have right now pending against the WWE. So they're not going in for a while. But you got to put in the Midnight Express. You got to put in the Steiner Brothers at some point. They got to go in there. I mean, I think the Rougeaux would be a good act to put in there as well. And as far as Davey Boy Smith, that one right there, you know, the British Bulldogs, but Davey Boy on his own, he had a Hall of Fame career. I just don't understand that one as far as why Davey Boy is not in there. I don't know if they have heat with him or something like that or what the deal is. I mean, how can you have heat with a guy who's deceased? But, nonetheless, like, why is Davey Boy Smith not in there? And there's been petitions. I mean, you know, Booker T's done a video. I believe Teddy, you done the video about that too, correct?
Yeah, I had. Well, I was on celeb.com or celeb.m or something like that. But anyway, yeah. there were some people that I did a video for about the British Bulldog.
Right. So I mean, you know, Teddy's done a video about it. I've seen David Hasselhoff do a video about the situation. There's been a lot of people that have come out and stated that the Bulldog should be in the Hall of Fame. Why WWE hasn't put him in, I have no idea. I don't get that one at all, but he's another guy that's very deserving of an induction. As far as tag teams go, I think why they only limited to one tag team is I think they just want to have one per, you know, one category each year. I think it all goes down to they're running out of names, and if you put in so many tag teams, you're going to run out of shit, and there won't be a Hall of Fame at that point.
Yeah, so you basically have one deceased wrestler,
yep.
a woman's wrestler, a tag team wrestler, maybe a secondary guy, and then
a manager,
the headline or headline act
yep.
every year.
And, so. And it seems like they're doing a manager. Then I think, I mean, are they doing somebody for the celebrity wing this year?
Gosh, I hope not.
Right.
You know, one name I heard was just rumored was Billy Martin, who was the baseball manager that showed up at one of the early WrestleManias.
Right.
But I that's the only name I've actually heard for celebrity wing. I'm sure they'll pull out a name. Sorry, right. Liberace.
And,
I heard Liberace's name as well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, hell yeah. I mean, yeah. As far as another question we have from Tom Nelson, who was a big supporter of GRP. He has a question here for Teddy. It says, has Teddy ever had to do an audible during a match in a ring and change the finish? Like a call from the back to the referee to change the outcome?
No, I've never had to do that.
Is that fairly common, Teddy? Is that, I mean, I'm sure it's happened once or twice, but is that something that, you know, on occasion, just some an emergency situation that might pop up?
Well, yeah, I've known that to pop up. Okay, I've been there, you know, and I've seen that actually happen, but it's not something that, you know, you'd expect all the time, that this may be something that they might decide, hey, I don't think we want to do that. Let's do it this way. So, you know, that may be a last-minute decision, but that has happened.
How about, I don't mean to interrupt you, Frank, but as far as, like, you know, refereeing, maybe having to use the X symbol, somebody got injured in the ring to the point where they couldn't continue. Did you ever have a situation like that?
Yeah, I've had a situation like that where a guy got hurt. You know, you'd have to give a signal, you know, that, you know, he's hurt and let him know. But, you know, a lot of guys that are real professionals, you know, it happened one time with Daniel Bryan, and he was hurt. But the referee gave the signal, but he wouldn't stop. You know what I mean? He wanted to complete his match. So a lot of guys are like that. You know, they just won't stop. You know, and you should, because you could, you know, do more damage to yourself. But I have, you know, witnessed that.
Yeah, you know the situation. You probably figured if that match gets stopped, there goes my career if I'm not a higher-up talent.
Well, you know, a lot of guys like Daniel Bryan, you know, they care about their job. You know what I mean? Their job means a lot to them, and that's what they want to do. And when something like that happens, you know, it kills them, man. They hate for something like that to happen because it stops the match, you know, and they have so many things that they've got planned that they want to do. And so, you know, for something to happen with some guys like that, it really bothers them because they really care about their job.
And the final question here is another one here for Teddy, and it comes from my man Juan Biz Morales. He has two questions for Teddy. First one is, does Teddy have any Haku stories? And the second question is, how did the locker room take to the deaths of Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit?
Don't have any Haku stories. Well, yeah, maybe one. I think one time we were in East St. Louis, and we're in a bar there, and some of the guys one or two guys tried to get Haku some problems, and he took care of them real quick, and I think it took about 10, well, maybe 6 or 7 police officers. I mean, they just showed up. They saw he wasn't no joke, but there was no incident between him and the police officers, but I did see him take down about 2 guys at one time right in a bar in East St. Louis. What was the other question?
About
Eddie Guerrero. How was the mood in the locker room? Real sad, because we didn't know. We was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I never forget it. I left out my hotel. In fact, I was in the same hotel where Eddie was. Eddie was right there in the same hotel. So when I got the TV, I didn't know anything about it, and I remember Fit Finley walking up to me and asking me, he said, you haven't heard? Because I think I was just moving around, you know, because I usually come in joking around with the boys and stuff, you know, so I'm like real happy. And Fit Finley come to me, he says, you haven't heard? And I said, heard what? And he told me about Eddie. And I'm like, man, I just, you know, changed like day and night. So the mood was really gloom. You know, everybody was really sad, but, you know, the show must go on. You know, we knew we had to go to work, but, for you know, to for something like that to happen with Eddie. And Eddie was a nice guy. Everybody loved Eddie, man. Great guy. So the mood was really bad.
What about Chris Benoit?
Chris Benoit was the same thing. We were in Corpus Christi, Texas, and we were getting ready to do SmackDown, and we were also, what had been scheduled there is that was during the time that Vince McMahon had blew himself up in the limo, and we were going to have Vince's funeral. That's what we were getting planned to do, was to have Vince's funeral there at Corpus Christi, and then I guess the office got the call that had happened to Chris, and then they brought us all, called a meeting right quick, and they told us all about it, and Jesus, man, I mean, Chris was another tremendous guy, nice guy. He would give you the shirt off his back, and I had the opportunity to ride with him for, you know, some years and stuff, so me and him were real close, too, so that was pretty sad also.
Let me ask you this question about that real quick, Teddy, you know, because I've read stories where, you know, JBL said something about telling somebody, you don't think that he killed that boy, do you? That's what JBL said. Was there any speculation going on at the time amongst the wrestlers about what the situation was with Benoit and the family? Did anybody suspect that that's what actually happened?
Well, I never did hear anything like that. You know, when that actually happened, man, everybody was kind of like in shock, you know, because if you knew Chris, there's no way that you would believe that he would have done anything like that. I mean, if you knew him. So I never heard anything about him may have, you know, killed his son or nothing. I never heard that. But like I said, man, you know, with Chris, everybody knew him. This was just too much. This was really a big shock.
All right. And that'll do it for questions. And don't forget, if you have any questions here for us on the GRP, you can always hit us up at GerwickReport@gmail.com. That's GerwickReport@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And of course, as we mentioned up front, I'm at Gerwick on Twitter and Gerwick Report as well. You can follow us there. Teddy Play Along is his Twitter handle. And of course, teddylong.com is the website. And what do you got coming up there, Playa?
Well, this coming Friday, I'm going to be in Denton, Maryland for ACW Wrestling, and it's going to be for the King of Maryland Tournament. So that's this coming Friday night in Denton, Maryland, ACW Wrestling. I will definitely be in the building, players.
So definitely stay tuned for that, and we definitely appreciate your support here on the Gerwick Report podcast. As always, for any late-breaking wrestling news, definitely check out Gerwick.net, and Frank D's going to be adding more to that YouTube channel, right, Frank?
Yeah, I'm going to get started with some stuff. Once again, if you are a WWE 2K17 fan and you want to see me working out some matches on the video game, let me know at GerwickReport@gmail.com, and I'll hook you up.
All right, keep those questions coming. Thank you for support. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.